Hello, everyone. Given what has unfolded in our country over the last few weeks with the Senate hearings and the new Supreme Court justice, and also looking ahead here to the midterms, I thought it would be a good idea to bring forward some pieces around the practice of nonviolence, specifically looking at how to maintain neutrality and how best to promote coexistence. Now, I know that these are vast, deep, and complex subjects, and this is a short recording, but what I'm hoping to do here is to tap into the essence of each so that you can pick up the thread that inspires you and motivates you to carry this forth in your life in ways that are relevant for you. Now, I'd like to start with the heart chakra. For me, the practice of nonviolence is an energy practice that is anchored in heart chakra consciousness. The heart chakra really facilitates our ability to be in relationship, to be in relationship with others, to be in relationship with self, to love others and accept others, to love and accept self. When we commit to this journey, this process of developing the heart through relationship, we often experience, as I'm sure you have, unconditional love. And unconditional love is transcendent. It transcends the ego. It transcends all expectations of how this person should be. It transcends the facade that someone might project. Unconditional love can apply to self. We can learn to unconditionally love ourselves. And this brings us to the true depth of the heart chakra. This is a powerful spiritual center. It is where the soul energy enters the body. It is where the soul consciousness is speaking through us. So this is a chakra that leads us into the depth of being a human being on earth, the complexity and depth of relationship, not only with others, not only with self, but with life itself. It's through the heart that we are able to meet the joy, the pain, the passion, the excitement, the terror of life. We feel that in our heart chakras. It is part of our soul consciousness. We are here to experience life. And it is in the heart center that we digest and transmute what is difficult of life and glean wisdom. We glean knowing. And we come to oftentimes a state of compassion. There is a maturing that happens through the heart and its interface with the soul, and that's taking place in the heart chakra. Now, compassion opens the door for us to experience neutrality. Neutrality is simply being free of reaction. We are present, we are experiencing what's going on, but we are holding it in, I would call it, a larger space, a greater consciousness. It doesn't mean that we can't feel what we feel about it, but it's not blocking us from being present with it. There's nothing negative about our emotional reactions. There's nothing that we need to change about that. But the truth is, sometimes we need neutrality to just get through something and to maintain clarity with it. So it's through the heart that we experience neutrality. And it takes our own intention to cultivate it. Now, the simplest way I know to cultivate neutrality is to meditate at the center of the heart chakra. The heart chakra is located 2 to 3 finger widths above the base of the sternum. You focus inward toward the center of your body at that space. And if you go deep enough into the body, you will find a point in the heart chakra in which you experience stillness. And that stillness is profound, and it is soothing to the whole body and to the nervous system. And when we choose that, when we focus there and cultivate that, we experience this generous space. This space that is more reflective and contemplative. It doesn't inhibit our humanness. It doesn't stop us from all the joy, passion, and reaction that we want. But it does give us a place to anchor when we need it. And so doing that type of meditation as often as you want to, on a fairly regular basis, you will be able to experience neutrality. And then you can bring that forward as needed. Now, coexistence, as I view it and experience it, emerges out of neutrality. We need neutrality to sit face to face with someone who doesn't agree with us. We need neutrality to listen to one another. We need this generous space of neutrality to allow people we don't agree with, even to the point that we see them as harmful, to actually exist, as opposed to rejecting, denying, discounting, negating them, separating from them, isolating from them, excluding them. Those are all the opposite of coexistence, right? When we practice coexistence, we are practicing unity. It is truly what exists. It is the reality. We are here together. I think it's important to consider now what many of us have a hard time with our government and policies. There is a strong leaning now to excluding by race, excluding by religious practice and beliefs, rejection of people who are different, a lot of reactiveness that ends up in excluding others, being an isolationist in terms of the world, standing apart from allies, that type of thing. And I don't want to get political about it and offend anyone, but this is what's happening. And it is there's kind of a shockwave that the world and many of us are experiencing. So to cultivate coexistence, we are really choosing to step away from that kind of negation, that kind of excluding others, and yet how do we accept or allow for coexistence with this kind of dynamic going on in our country? These are big pieces and big questions to explore. Now, one of the pieces that really helps with maintaining neutrality and practicing coexistence is listening. And I really saw this, I always knew this, and I brought it into energetic practices early on when I had the Institute. But I saw it in a different way when I studied mediation and would sit with mediators in the middle of divorce cases. In those kind of circumstances, when there is so much pain, so much difficulty, oftentimes animosity, it is the mediator's role to create a space in which both parties listen to each other. That means that both parties sit without saying anything and listen through the entire declaration that the other person is making. And in this mediation training, they would talk about, as we practice this, do you feel that in your body? They weren't saying that to the couple. They were saying that to the mediators that were getting trained. Do you feel that in your body? When a person is speaking and you listen, do you feel that in your body? And we began to see over and over, yes, when we fully put down our agenda and listen to somebody, we feel that. We are receiving something from them. And here's the other piece. They feel received. And that's the deeper piece here. We are here to receive each other. Right? We are here together, and the act of receiving each other is transformative. It begins to change things. And that brings us to the dynamic connection between two polarities. Opposition and conflict is a polarized situation, and the polarities involved are not really separate from each other. They are connected. And we've got to always know that. Conflict is not about two pieces that aren't related. It is about two pieces that are related. And it is our work to facilitate the exploration of that relationship. There's a point of integration in all opposition. And one way we find it is, number one, being neutral enough to stay present. Number two, allow it to be there. That's coexistence. And number three is listen. To set aside everything that we want to say or feel at that moment and really listen so that we are receiving what is being said. It is not about opening yourself to something that is harmful. It is about really hearing at a much deeper level what this person is saying. When you hear what a person is saying, when you really take it in, there will be oftentimes something that lands that is new for you. It's not about changing your point of view. It's just about knowing something new about that other person. Now, in real life, you can practice this and maybe the other person won't listen to you or the other point of view won't listen to you. And we see this all the time in the country at the national level. There's a lot of not listening. But even if the other person doesn't listen to you, they're more apt to if you listen to them. And whatever you glean from listening to them is still facilitating the polarity working out. Our fear of conflict inhibits the creative process of the polarity. It's as simple as that. Our interest in conflict, and I don't mean entanglement in conflict, I mean our interest in it, helps us facilitate the creative process that's there. Now, you can try that with your best friend and probably be very successful at it. You can try it with your spouse or your children and probably be very successful at it. And yet, here we are. I started talking about the government early on in this recording. Well, right. Facing the government and policies and what's happening, it feels impossible. Yet we're caught in a place where we can't not participate, right? So there are definitely more challenges in certain situations than in others with practicing this. But it's worth it. It's worth it to practice it. Even if it's just for maintaining our own equilibrium and state of mind and consciousness. So if we practice neutrality, even when it feels like an uphill battle, we can feel more grounded. We're not draining energy, and that is important. Reactivity and exclusion and fear and negation drain energy. And if we can reside in the heart and cultivate it and be present in a way that's more neutral and allow coexistence, we will feel better. And that's something. That's a big plus right now. So I'm going to leave you with this, at this point, with these pieces, and hopefully you will find traction with them and know the exact way you can apply them and use them. I'm happy to email with you or talk with you if you have any questions about it or comments or want to share. Blessings to you. Bye for now.